Good morning, everybody. This is Frank Riccio, and I'm an attorney who practices in Braintree, and this is Talking About the Law. My guest today is Joel Rosen, who practices before the boards of registration in dentistry, medicine, and nursing. Welcome back, Joel.
Thanks.
And as we're just, I'm just going to finish up on our topic, and that basically is a written decision is then at some point given. Does the doctor have any right of appeal?
It appeals right to the Supreme Judicial Court.
Okay.
And the effect of that is that the doctor never gets a trial, right?
Yes.
The Supreme Judicial Court is the top court in the state. And all they do is look at what the board did and see whether there's a rational basis for it.
And we're going to talk about that because the Chadwick case is a case that you actually argued before the Supreme Judicial Court. And we're going to talk about that probably in our last segment. But I'm going to take you again through this whole process. And basically, what are the typical types of cases that are brought against dentists, especially before the Board of Registration?
It could be anything. The regulations are, as I said, Byzantine. They are very complex and very long, and they refer to other regulations, you know, federal regulations or what have you. So,
like OSHA?
Not OSHA, as a matter of fact. It used to be OSHA, but that's what the Chadwick case was about. But I don't want to get too technical for your listeners, but federal infection control regulations and what have you. But it could be anything. Infection control is something that the board is very and properly concerned with. It's hard to even though I'm a defense lawyer, it's hard to get too upset that the board is making sure that the instruments that they use in your mouth are clean and sanitary and sterilized. Okay, I'm all for that. Another thing that they get upset about is keeping good charts, keeping good records. That's important to the patient and the public.
Into the dentist, Joel. I mean, I do a lot of medical malpractice cases against dentists.
Sure.
And that's one of the biggest problem areas for dentists. Their records are just so poor, and by just inference, you can assume that the care is poor. But I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Joel.
I don't know if that's a fair inference. I think that it may be that the dentist is busy seeing a lot of people and doesn't have time to write. That's the defense perspective, right? Look, it's getting better now because medical records, particularly for medical doctors, are now getting computerized, and there's even a move toward having someone other than the doctor actually do the charting, right?
Yeah. And a lot of your electronic records now, too, if they're handwritten, can actually be scanned and stored electronically.
So the record keeping is getting a lot better. So that's not as big a problem. There are billing issues, you know, overbilling, which is something that's serious. And incompetence. They don't like it when doctors and dentists are on drugs or drunk when they're performing surgery. They don't like sexual misconduct. So there are a lot of ways that the board protects the public.
And in terms, let's focus a little bit on the sexual misconduct.
I knew that would get your attention.
Sex sells, I guess. One of the areas that are not only in terms of protecting the public, but these cases are often referred to the DA's office as well. Correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is one of the functions of the board in terms of handling that. The other big area is actually financial misfeasance. Am I correct? Overbilling, fraudulent billing. And how does that go through the board?
Same way. I had one case where the elder services department of a town reported a case to the board because they felt that an elderly person was being overbilled.
And when that happens, does it get referred to the DA's office as well, or is that something that is a judgment call by the Board of Registration?
The case I'm thinking about was already in criminal proceedings. You know, they had started a criminal complaint. So whether the board refers the other way, I suppose they could. I haven't seen it happen.
Now, I suppose another reason for contacting your lawyer is if there is a criminal overlap, the dentist may want to invoke his or her Fifth Amendment rights not to testify. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it, right? You can't defend yourself, right? You don't want to say anything that's going to hurt you in the criminal case. But on the other hand, you can't explain to the board why you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Because you don't have a Fifth Amendment privilege with a license defense. What you're really saying is there might be a criminal matter, or what I'm being charged with could be a crime, and so I want to assert the Fifth.
You know, putting on my criminal defense hat back in the day when I did that, you know, my advice was always, you know, just shut up, because many times in a criminal context, the evidence, the only evidence of criminal activity is actually what the potential defendant stated to either a police officer or an investigating officer.
That's terrific advice, by the way. If you're accused of a crime, don't say anything.
Right.
Say, I'd like to call my lawyer.
Yes. And especially if somebody wants to look at your books, for the simple reason that there may be something that was done inadvertently in an error, and you weren't really guilty of anything criminal, but it could turn into a criminal prosecution, which you know, nobody really needs, because there's always a potential for jail time.
Not to mention that it destroys your life while it's going on. I mean, you can't concentrate on anything when you're being accused of a crime. I mean, how can you even function?
Well, that happens, and you know, back before I just concentrated in civil work, I was doing criminal defense, and you know, you're absolutely right on that. Does the board have the right to issue money damages? Can they?
No.
They don't.
No.
Okay.
They can take your license away or refer you for prosecution. That's it.
So say, for example, you've had shoddy dental care done, and the board actually establishes that. Can the patient get their money back in any way through the Board of Registration?
No, not through the Board of Registration. A lot of times, far too often, what people do is bring an action in front of the board because they want money. And what they're hoping is that the board will make findings that they can then use either in a malpractice trial and say, well, look, you were found deficient in this way, so that's good evidence in my civil case. So if I don't do a good job, they'll then go to you.
Okay. And so in terms of money, the main right or recourse that a patient has is really to file a civil action and hope that the case will be resolved civilly.
Usually, but there's another way. I mean, there are different kinds of insurance, I'm sorry, not insurance, but credit companies that just do credit for dental plans. Like, you know, I have a lot of dental work I need, I have to borrow the money, and there are companies called like Credit Care and so forth. And there's a Delta Dental, I think, does it. And there's a way that you can get your money back through the company.
Yeah, because many times, and many malpractice lawyers don't take dental cases just for virtue of the fact that the damages or the amount of money that is involved is just not large enough to make it worthwhile for either the dentist or patient in terms of a contingent fee and that type of thing.
Yeah, the damages have to be significant, right?
Okay. Now, are audits done by the Board of Registration in dentistry?
I'm sure that they can do it. I don't see them doing it. Usually they're responding to a complaint. They're just... Look, it's a public agency. They have the funding that they have, and they deal with the emergent situations rather than sort of a general review. Although they are talking about auditing people's continuing education, they can do that fairly easily.
And how about fines and penalties? Does the Board of Registration have the power to assess a fine?
I don't think so.
Okay. And how about any type of penalty We talked a little bit about suspension. Could you kind of expound on that?
Yeah, basically you can't practice for 2 months or 3 months or 6 months or a year or whatever the time period is, depending on how serious. And then usually there's something that you have to do in order to get your license back. You have to take courses, for example, you know, a jurisprudence course, an ethics course, a course on pain management or infection control, that kind of thing.
Now, in the criminal law, there's what's known as a three strikes and you're out type of policy, where if basically you commit three felonies or something like that, you end up with this horrific penalty in some serious jail time. Looking at, say, for example, dentists, are there so-called frequent flyer type of dentists who have many complaints filed against them? And how does the board handle that?
What they're supposed to do is look at each complaint on its own merits. Okay, if there is a if there's been a finding, a disciplinary finding, then they may consider that in deciding what kind of discipline to impose. But they're not supposed to say, "Well, you've been accused a lot, so you must have done something wrong in this case." That's not fair. And you know, it makes sense because there are certain practices, and I won't mention any names, but there are companies that specialize in people who have a poor history of dental care. You know, who just don't brush their teeth, and they see people with. You've seen these things, Frank. People whose teeth are just rotting out of their mouth, and they see these all day, every day. Now, these people are going to have more complaints, right, because they don't like dentists in the first place, than the normal person that takes care of their teeth. So there are people who just, by the nature of their practice, are going to get a lot of complaints. That doesn't mean they're bad dentists.
Then let me expound on that a little bit. Say there are findings that are valid and legitimate. Does that affect the penalty phase with a dentist? Say, for example,
That could be considered a factor in aggravation, right? It'll be a more serious penalty.
So, in other words, the more times there are valid complaints, then that's taken into consideration.
Yeah, particularly if you did the same thing. Their interest, you know, you had an infection control finding, and we gave you a probation, and here it is, you did the same damn thing again, and now we're going to be serious, and now we're going to suspend you, you know, something like that.
Now, does the Board of Registration ever suggest to patients to file a civil lawsuit against a dentist or a dental practice?
I've never heard them do that.
Okay. So, in other words, if the finding is adverse to the consumer, does that become something that becomes part of the record in any event?
It's public, you know. Adverse to the consumer?
Adverse to the consumer.
No, there won't be any record. There won't be any official record. I mean, you'd never know that. Okay. And you want to talk about frequent flyers? You know, there are also patients who sue dentists, right?
I have to take a break at this point, but when we come back, we'll talk about them, and then I'm going to talk to you about the Chadwick case and also one of the big cases that you're involved in right now. This is Talking About the Law.